Today's readings from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some of them to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth of love, we live in all things. Speaking in the truth of love, we will in all things grow up into him, and who is the head, that is Christ. For him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Good morning, everybody. You all okay? Good. I want to start with a question. And I want you to be open and honest, because here in church, two things we should be are open with each other and honest with each other. And the question is this: what is church to you? So what is church to you? And if you want to throw some answers back at me, I'll take them. Good and bad.
Meeting together to praise the Lord.
Meeting together to praise the Lord. Oh, everybody then suddenly, once one goes, everybody goes. Community, family of God.
Nurturing.
Learning about. Learning more about. So what was the last bit? Learning the Bible, okay. All good answers. And I'm sure for some of you there are times where church isn't necessarily great. Sometimes it might just be average. But what I want us to look at this morning, because I think it's great. In this series we're looking at key things that we believe in this series, that I actually got given the shortest title and the biggest title. So I got Why We Believe in Sin, but now we've also got Why We Believe in the Church as the Holy Spirit Equipped Body of Christ. And so what I want us to look at this morning is just a couple of pictures of what church is. Because I don't know whether you know, there's more than 80 metaphors or word pictures relating to the church that appear in the New Testament. And each portrays a more profound reality than the picture that it paints in our mind. And the pictures together can give us make clear the nature and the mission of the church, but also show us how the Holy Spirit is actually at work in the church. So how does the Holy Spirit equip the church, the body? How does the Holy Spirit equip the church, the body of Christ? The first point I want to make this morning is that the Holy Spirit, we can clearly read in Acts 2, gives the church its birthday. The church is born by the Holy Spirit. By forming the church on the day of Pentecost into a corporate structure which we call, as we heard in the reading, the body of Christ, baptizing the living members into this spiritual body and filling them at Pentecost. And it's clear from Scripture that the church is of God, but also it's for people. But ultimately, the church is God's creation. It's one body with many parts. And Paul often uses that illustration of how some of us are called to be hands. Some of us may be feet. Some of us may be eyes in our place within the church. But each of us, by the Holy Spirit, has a part to play in that body. But also the Holy Spirit formed the church to be the new and living temple of God. The church is the new building where God resides. And it's setting believers into their places as living stones in this new covenant temple. In the Old Testament, we see clearly the people built a temple and the presence of God would come down. Now, through what God did at Pentecost through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is now dwelling in a new temple. And that new temple is you and it's me. And so people will come into God's presence by being part of this body, this new temple. A picture I had as I was preparing is, and I almost thought about doing this with a permanent marker, of actually coming and writing every single one of your names on these bricks to show that the church isn't this building, it's the living stones that are sitting in the places next to you this morning. But also the Holy Spirit brings anointing. It brings guidance and direction and illumination to the church as this new covenant priestly body. The church is the people of God chosen for a purposeful partnership in accomplishing the will of God here on earth, right here and now. And the New Testament reminds us that the church visible is not the church ideal. Whether you think of yourself as perfect or not, we are not the perfect church, but we are called to live under the guidance of the one who is perfect. And if you look at the beginning of the passage that Mike read this morning, you can see how Paul is trying to get across to the Ephesians that they are going to make mistakes. They aren't always going to get it right, but that's something that still should be attained to and look for. That the church that we have here and across the world is in constant need of renewal by God through his Holy Spirit. Because God's taken the same risk with the church in redeeming us to himself as he did when he granted people freedom in creation. Look at how the church started. 12 men. Not the greatest theologians, not the greatest teachers, but everyday average men who didn't always get on. Often argued about who was the greatest. But Jesus saw them and he loved them and he saw the potential and he took that risk. And he's doing the same with us as the church today. God loves you as you are, but he wants to see you reach your full potential by walking with him. And the Holy Spirit also brings gifts and graces to the members of the church. And you can see clearly through Paul's letters that the gifts of the Spirit are a demonstration in the church of the Spirit's unlimited power, knowledge, and presence. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of the nature and the character of the Holy Spirit in the members that we call the body of Christ. But also the Holy Spirit is God's agent. And when I say God's agent, I don't mean that the Holy Spirit is kind of like a 007 figure that will suddenly pop up out of nowhere and try and assassinate you. Or it may catch you off guard from time to time. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of direction and government within the church. With Christ, the Lord Jesus, as the head of the church in heaven and on earth, he directs his affairs in his body by means of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit who calls and quickens and energizes and equips the various ministries of his beautiful church and every member of that body of Christ according to their particular place. And that's why Paul outlines in Ephesians that yes, some are called to be pastors. Yes, some are called to be evangelists. But each and every one of us has a place and a part within his church. And it may not be up the front. It may be behind the scenes. But God wants to use and equip each and every one of us to be part of this amazing body. And in all this, we have to remember that it is Christ who is at the head of the body. And that he was a perfect example of the work of the Holy Spirit, which was able to flow freely in perfect and unhindered operation. And so this is to be shown and lived out in us, his church, as the visible and mystical body of Christ here on earth. Because when the church is acting under the headship of its Lord and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it continues a story that began back in the book of Acts. I wonder if you've got a Bible with you this morning, if you just turn with me now to Acts chapter 29. Have you found it? You are Acts chapter 29. We are the continuation of that story. Do you see yourself as being part of that story? You are Acts chapter 29. You can't read it. You can't show people it other than it's here and it's now. We are the living proof that God has equipped by his Holy Spirit the church for his work and his purposes. Yes, the church over the centuries has made some big mistakes. But the church of God is still alive and living today because of faithful people like you who are willing to give of your time, of your finances, your lives to serve God. And God wants to move increasingly and increasingly build a bigger picture of the church in you and through you to the rest of the world. I want to give you another great picture this morning of what we are as church. We are his bride, as he is the bridegroom. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. You know, when you attend a wedding and, you know, you see the groom stood at the front of church, and I clearly remember, you know, when I got married nearly 20 years ago. I had a mental block then, but never mind. And I was stood down there, and I was waiting for Joanna, my bride, to come through the doors that were slightly different than they are now. And I waited. And I waited. And my brother said, "Do you want me to tell some jokes?" "Not your jokes, my dear brother." 15 minutes went by. 20. 25. 30 minutes, and then a whisper came, She's here. And every thought of killing her or running through that door there with my best man saying, I've got the car keys if you're ready to go, disappeared at that moment. The moment I turned round and I saw her in all her beauty. But with us as the church, we are the bride waiting to see the majestic and beautiful bridegroom who will one day return to claim his bride. What will it look like? Because, you know, those men, would you be happy if your bride turned up on your wedding day wearing a tatty old pair of jeans and a tracksuit top and a pair of old trainers? No. You go crazy. And I think the church that Jesus is hoping for is the beautiful bride that he knows that it can be. And so let's just, how do we make sure we look our best for that glorious day when Christ comes back for his bride? I just want to go through some things that are actually part of our Free Methodist DNA, that are actually some of the core values that the Free Methodist Church around the world has of what it thinks should be a healthy church. And the first one is, it's a church that worships in spirit and in truth. That it's a church that prays without ceasing. That it's a church that is constantly reaching the lost for Christ. That it's a church that constantly produces fully devoted disciples, willing to lay down their lives for God. That it's a church that isn't just happy with the status quo, but grows through multiplication. That it's a church that is constantly ministering to the poor and the needy. That it is engaging with the world ministry that the Free Methodist Church is part of. But it's a church that also organizes itself around our mission, that is constantly seeking to better itself. Because God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit takes us as a people that he has claimed back for himself through Jesus into a partnership to share in his activities and to realize his purposes in this generation at this time. We have a mission of holy love. We exist to produce Christ likeness in all people and all their institutions. And it amazes me that God wants us to be part of his mission. That despite how weak and ill-equipped we may feel, God wants to be all that, wants us to be all that we can be. Because our mission is both to the individual, but also to the social circumstances that we see. I believe that we as local church are the hope, not just of Fulwood, not just of Preston, but the local church is the hope for the whole world. We're living in desperate times. How do we respond to those times? This gospel that we talk about points to a social relationship of all people to God and to each other, as described in Scripture as the kingdom of God. And it's not about being the denomination of God. Andrew often sends emails around to the rest of us on the team. Some of them I don't think I could ever show you, because it's just like weird, strange pictures, including a glass toilet in the middle of a high street, but that's just anyway. But he sent one recently, and I don't know whether you know, but within the Protestant church, there are 37,000 denominations. Which effectively you could talk about are 37,000 different ways that people think they are being the right church. And for me, having worked with Youth of Christ over the years, and being part of this church in the past, and being part of other churches as well, and working with churches of other denominations, I think sometimes we can lose sight that the church is actually bigger than us. That we are actually part of the church here in Preston. And I'll be sharing a bit more about how we are trying to work that through. I was in a meeting with the Lancashire Fire Service on Tuesday, and there were two things that made me really think about how are we being seen by the people out there? Because the fire officer who was holding the meeting, he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "The problem we have with the church, it's too parochial. There's bits of you all over the place, and we don't know who it is we're supposed to be talking to." And at the end, I kind of went, I agree with you, but we're trying to change that. We're trying to show that the church is bigger than a building, that the church is the people of God here in this city, here in this nation, that's trying to work together and answer the prayer that Jesus had when he said, "Lord, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one." And so the pictures that we have in the New Testament, and we've only covered a couple this morning, are made even more powerful and dramatic by the greatest portrait of all, the Incarnation, God made flesh. The church being shown the way through Jesus continues the teaching and the ministry of the Lord Jesus here on earth. And just as God, the Holy Spirit, used the hands of the Apostle Paul in special miracles, so I believe that God can, through his Holy Spirit, can use us, his church, today. And you know, the results will be the same. The word of the Lord will grow mightily and will prevail if we just allow God to use us as his hands and his feet. In our own homes, in our schools, in our colleges, in our workplaces. And as we grow through the work of the Holy Spirit, as we heard in the beginning in Ephesians, and as we grow into the local community called church, the hope for the world, then I believe that we will be that community as he wanted us to be, a community of harmony and peace, bound together by the shared experience and the love of the Holy Spirit. As he saw Jews and Gentiles who were constantly against each other, that Paul cried out, "Jesus died for all, so that we might be one working together." And our goal is that as church, we will achieve the fullest possible experience of unity, faith, spiritual understanding, and Christian maturity to the full perfection of Christ. I love this church, but I also know that it's not as good as it could be, because each and every one of us can still grow a little bit more into the likeness of Christ. That it's a building made up of people, not bricks and mortar. This is a fantastic resource that we have, but that's what it is. This building is not the church. You and I are the church here in Fulwood Free Methodist Church. May it change the way you use the word church, because it breaks my heart. Because there are so many people out there, including that fireman that we were talking to the other day, who say, "I believe in God, but I don't go to church, they're missing it. Maybe through the pain and the sorrow of being hurt by a church somewhere. But we have got to stop talking about them and us and start talking about church as us, the people, the body of Christ, working together and being together. Because we need to be a showcase of God's loving grace that's at work in us, but is also outpouring to a hurting people out there. But I think most of all, it needs to be a community in which God's glory can clearly be seen. That when people look at us, they see past our face and they see Jesus. And that they see that we as his body are devoted completely to praising that glory. That we take none of the credit for ourselves, but we say what you see is because of him, not because of us. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you that through your word, you paint so many beautiful pictures of what your church is. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you loved the church enough to die for it. And Lord, I just say sorry on behalf of the church for the times where we've not had you at the head. For the times where, as church, we thought we could do better. And Lord, I just pray that Holy Spirit, today, you would just fill us anew. We want more of you. At work in every aspect, in every age group, in every person that walks through the door, but also out there in the community, because church isn't just about us coming together in this building. Church is about being part of your body wherever we are. So Lord, I just pray each and every one of us today would just think where we are with you this morning. If we need to, that we come back to you. But Lord, just help us by your Holy Spirit to be that beautiful bride that you are one day coming back for in all your glory. Amen.